Good morning, church. Good morning, church.
Morning.
There we go. Boy, it's like I haven't heard that in quite a while. And we are glad to be able to be here this morning and sharing together for our services today. As we'd said, also, if you haven't figured it out yet, then shame on you. It's Mother's Day. So there will be... where that was going to be at, Rick, out back here. There's going to be there, out back on the tables here. For any lady that's here today, make sure you stop and get yourself a little treat on the way out. We thank you for everything that you do. You know, it's never easy being a mother. Because if it was, dads would do it, right? For some reason, Hayden Canes, where'd he go? There he is. See, when I did this joke, I thought this is like a Hayden Canes kind of a joke. So I'm glad you're here this morning. But this next one here, it says, so what did the mother rope say to her child? Now, don't be naughty. So, right? Am I right or am I right? Right? See? A kid asks his dad one day, what's a man? Well, the dad responds, a man is someone who is responsible and cares for their family. The kid looks at his dad and says, well, I hope one day I can grow up to be a man just like mom. Mom, as they're sitting at the dinner table, mom, are bugs good to eat? Mother looks at the son and says, that's not something we should discuss at the table. We'll talk about that later. After supper's over, mom says, now, son, what was it that you wanted to talk to me about? Oh, nothing, the boy said. There was a bug in your soup, but it's gone now. If your kids are giving you a headache, it is always a good idea to follow the directions on the aspirin bottle, especially the part that says, keep away from children. There are 9 things you will never hear a mother say. Number 9. You know, don't bother wearing a jacket. I'm sure the wind chill is bound to improve. Number 8. You know, I don't have a tissue with me. Just go ahead and use your sleeve. Number 7. You know, the curfew time, it's really just a general time to shoot for. It's not like we're running a prison around here. Number 6. Well, if Jimmy's mama said it's okay, well, then that's good enough for me. Number 5, go ahead and keep that stray dog, honey. I'll be glad to feed it and walk it every day. Number 4, let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for at least another week. Number 3, just leave the lights on. It makes the house look more cheery. Number 2, yeah, I used to skip a lot of school, too, just like you, especially now, right? And number 1, how on earth can you see the TV sitting so far away? Scoot up, get closer, right? And then this morning, you know, I woke up, looked over, I asked Tam, I said, how does breakfast in bed sound? She said, well, that sounds great. I said, good deal. I'll have bacon, some toast, and some eggs whenever you get a chance. So, you know, there's so many times that we seem to take our mothers for granted. And as we've been doing this series of preaching through the Bible, we are looking at the book of Esther today. And this is kind of, one of the things I came across this week was a little boy and a little girl. It was a cartoon, and the little boy says, you got to look in the closet. I told you. And they open up the parent's closet door, and he reaches in, and he pulls out a Superman's cape. And he goes, I told you. And the girl says, well, I had no idea that your mom was a superhero. And really, aren't all moms superheroes? Yes, they are. And when we look at women of the Bible, and the examples that they set as far as being superheroes, Esther's about at the top of the list when it comes to women. And so we're going to take a look at that today. And this message is a little different than the ones that I usually do. I'm hoping this is a good one. There's going to be a little different setup than usual. We're just going to kind of give you a nutshell, an overview of the book of Esther. And then there's five things that I want to each mother. And really, you know, as we say for qualification, when we talk about qualifications of our leaders, whether it's deacons or elders, we always say those are good qualifications for any Christian. And so even though we're gearing this especially for mothers today, these things that we're going to look at the end of our message are really things that pertain to all Christians, but we're focusing them towards our mothers today. The book of Esther takes place in about 473 B.C. to 464 B.C. in the Persian Empire during the reign of a king whose Jewish name is Ahasuerus. His Greek name is Xerxes. And I always thought that was interesting because he was neither Greek nor Jewish. And those are yet the two translations that we have in the Bible. And so actually, his Persian name was Kasha Yarsh. And the book of Esther opens up during the middle of a 180-day party. Now, can everybody say, that's a party, right? That's a party. A 180-day party where they're all together there and I know what happens sometimes at a 180-minute party, okay? I can't imagine at a 180-day party. And as you go through in history and you would see what took place there with Vashti, we're not going to get into that this morning, but Xerxes was kind of a crude dude, okay? But anyway, he's having this party that lasted about 180 days. And we notice and we'll learn as you read through the book of Esther that Xerxes has what we would call a very flighty personality. We'll see an example of that when he signs a law into order for the annihilation of the Jews, giving them, and then turns around just a short time later and gives them the opportunity by signing another law into decree that they are able to defend themselves. And so Xerxes sometimes made some rash decisions. We'll say that Esther chapter 1 was Xerxes making some rash decisions. He had Queen Vashti there. He decides that she's no longer his queen. And so he decides to be, this is probably the first account that we have of what we now know as the show The Bachelor, where he decides that he's going to have a beauty pageant and he is going to have an opportunity. And that event itself lasts 6 months. And so it wasn't like he just walked through the group and said, you. There was a preparation that took place for this. And it's kind of like since we didn't have an NCAA tournament this year, if you were going to put, 68 women's name on the board, and then you were going to start eliminating them down until you got to Esther, is what this was like. So Xerxes is having this huge party, decides he's going to divorce his wife, has a time of picking a new queen. And this is where we start to learn of a young Jewish girl named Hadassah. Hadassah is her Jewish name. Esther is actually the Persian name given to her. And if you want to win a Persian beauty contest, don't use your Jewish name. Right? Does that not make sense? And so that's why we see Esther. Now, I'm going to ask, because some should know, especially those in our school, 5th through 8th grade, and even some of the younger ones, the word Esther means what? I heard it over here. Star. Very good. Star. And there is no doubt that Esther is the star of this book. There are some very interesting things about this book that we do not know. Who wrote it? Some think that maybe Ezra wrote it. Some think that maybe Nehemiah wrote it. But most scholars disagree with that. We have no idea who really wrote it. Some think it was just someone who was a contemporary of Nehemiah. The word God does not appear in the book of Esther anywhere. And so you think, how about a book of the Bible that doesn't have the word God in it? But yet I am told in the original languages it is wrote out, each paragraph starts with a letter that actually spells out Jehovah forward and backward. So actually the word of God is, the name God is all through the book of Esther. So as we continue on through this, there was this young girl named Hadassah that we're going to call Esther. She was being taken care of and raised by her cousin Mordecai. We see that in chapter 2, verse 7 of the book of Esther. The Bible says this, like the King James Version, New King James, NIV, says that she was lovely and beautiful. Now, I get a kick out of the New American Standard's translation of this, where it says that she was a lady beautiful of form and face. In other words, right? She had it going on, right? She passes through the beauty pageant and is selected to be the queen. All the while, in the background, an evil, sneaky little man by the name of Haman is working his way through the ranks in the kingdom of Persia. And he is doing his best to spread hatred and discontent for the Jews that remained there from the exile. Something I think we need to learn and understand from this whole scenario is that we are looking at some 40 to 50 years. Not 40 or 50 days. 40 or 50 years after. Do you remember a man by the name of Daniel? Do you remember what prophecy he kept looking at when he was in Babylonian captivity? Jeremiah's prophecy of the 70 years. The 70 years prophecy was that at the end of 70 years, God was going to allow for Cyrus to decide to let the people go back to Israel, to go back to Jerusalem. And this story takes place 40 or 50 years later, because guess what? God's people were set free from bondage, and they decided to remain in it. Oh, is that something we normally think about, how we look at this? I don't know if you realize this or not as well, but Haman, it makes the statement at the beginning when you first read about Haman that he was an Agagite. Where does that name sound familiar from? Maybe about 500 years or so, 400 or 500 years before this time, King Saul was told to wipe out all the people, and he decided that he met this king, Agag, and said, you know what, he's a king, and someday I may be captured by another country, and so I'm going to let him live so that maybe they'll let me live in the future. Anyway, Samuel ends up coming in and killing Agag, but there is a child that had been conceived by Agag that later becomes a thorn in the side of the Jewish people again, 400 or 500 years later. Haman, the Agagite. When God says to stay clear of it, when God says to wipe it all out, when God says no more sin, you don't mess with it, you don't dabble with it, you get clear of it. And they didn't, and at least for those two reasons, Israel's in trouble again. And that's what's going on here in the book of Esther. They had the opportunity to go home. Some of them were born there. They had the opportunity to go to their motherland and chose not to. You know, I've never been to heaven, but if I've got the opportunity to go, I'm gone. If you got the opportunity to go home to the promised land, you better take advantage of that. They grew accustomed to the foreign land. Many of them did leave for Jerusalem, but still a good number remained. I too think this here is a valuable lesson for the church to consider here. That if we have the chance to be with God's people and decide to remain in the world, what would God allow to happen to us? What do you think God would do to help get our attention? I mean, I don't know, because we could never be forced to be separated from each other, could we? I mean, that would never happen. Or would it? Back to our story. Wicked Haman is seeking for the Jews to be exterminated and gets for Xerxes to sign that edict that we had talked about earlier. And while cousin Mordecai is trying to convince Queen Esther to make an unannounced visit before the king, and this doesn't happen, it could cost her life. But in the process, if she does nothing, she could live. She could remain safe while the rest of the Jewish people perish. That brings us to the key verse of our text that we want to look at today. In Esther chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. It says, then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the other Jews." See, the king still doesn't know that she's a Jew. She's going by Esther, not Hadassah. So he says, don't think that if something decides to happen with the killing of these Jews that you would escape that. Verse 14, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish." And here's the key. "And who knows whether you have attained royalty for such a time as this." Mothers, I want for you to continue to remember that phrase for the rest of the message here today. "For such a time as this." Usually don't pick on women and mothers to say, but will you repeat that this morning? "For such a time as this." All right, you guys did terrible. Let's do it one more time. Mothers, nice and loud. "For such a time as this." Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And so as we look at this morning, as we continue on with this, to finish up the book of Esther, Esther meets with the king, thwarts Haman's plot to kill the Jews. Haman, who desired to be exalted and lifted high in the Persian Empire, got exactly what he wanted, right? They hanged him and his 10 sons from the gallows, which were about 75 feet tall. For all to see, he got his exaltation and lifted up, didn't he? The king then gives a decree for the Jews to be able to protect themselves against anyone that tries to kill them. Because of Esther, a special feast is celebrated every year by the Jewish nation. It's called Purim. It's one of those floating holidays that doesn't always land on the same day. Sometimes it's in February, sometimes it's in March. I've even seen it sometimes as late as April. But it is a party. It is a party of them being rescued, of not being slaughtered, of being set free. So to bring it all together, Esther's story is much like many of you here today. As we celebrate our mothers today, let us bring some thoughts from Esther into consideration of the lives that our mothers lead. I want for you to consider some things here this morning, especially the ladies. But as I said, I believe that all these things are good for everyone across the board. First thing I want for you to consider is consider your time in history. Consider your time in history. Just as Esther was, do you realize that you are here for such a time as this? During this time of history, you are here. God could have used you here on this planet, in any century, on any continent, during any time during the world's history, and yet he chose you to be here right now. Aren't we thankful for that? Right? I mean, because let's just face it, without our mothers, we wouldn't be here. Right? Okay? Consider your time in history. When you do that, then consider your place in time. Consider your place in time. Just as Esther was, you're here for just such a time as this. She was used to change the lives of God's people. Clear back in the 5th century B.C. Mothers, I want for you to understand that God has you here, right now. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and they may say, well, you know what, I just think I was born in the wrong era. If I'd have been born 100 years ago, have you ever heard people say that? When they say, if I'd have been born 100 years ago, I usually look at them and say, and now you'd be dead. Right? All right? We just, 100-year-old people just usually don't come around very often. I did get an ESPN update yesterday. That those of you that have watched the movie A League of Her Own, based on the 40s girls' baseball teams, that the last Rockford Peach lady, Mary Pratt, passed away yesterday. I just thought that, 101 years old. So not very many people make it that far. So what I'm saying is when somebody says, I wish I would have been around 100 years ago, then today you wouldn't be here. And we're kind of glad you're here. But anyway, your place in this world that you have, the people around you have made you who you are. Your friends, your family, your loved ones, they have shaped you just as much as you have shaped them. Would you agree? So consider your place in time. Then I'd like for you to consider your purpose in this place. Consider this purpose, your purpose in this place. Just as Esther was, you are here for just such a time as this. Your purpose in this place is to be used for God's great plan. I think sometimes we forget that. That just as Esther was, just as Mordecai was, that we are used, we're here for God's great plan. It may be to raise up some faithful child that will go on to serve and do great things as they live for the Lord. It may be to teach those around you how to understand a never-failing love that we get from our Father which art in heaven. It may be your purpose in life to make sure that your husband doesn't ruin the kids that God has given you. Right? Have you ever stopped and consider that? Maybe you're just here so us guys don't mess it up. Your purpose in this place is to live a life of purpose. So many people today are, I have no idea what the meaning of life is and what my purpose is. Oh, there is plenty for us to do. And each one has a purpose. God has us here for a reason. It is to encourage. It is to support. It is to care for. It is to guide. It is to train and to love those around you that need it, whether they are blood relatives or not. Amen? Amen? Because we see that so many times whenever we hear Don Cooper talk, when he talks about children's homes, he says that some of the most successful children's homes are ones that are built right next to retirement homes so that elderly people can be the grandparents to those children who don't have grandparents. And whether they're their blood relation or not, they have an opportunity to influence them and influence them for Jesus Christ. As you consider your purpose in this place, it's necessary for you to consider your opportunity that you have for this purpose. Just as Esther was, you are here for just such a time as this. You have been given the opportunity to live out your purpose. You know, many people sleep their lives away. Many people get lost in the glow of an electronic screen device, wasting the moments that only come around in your lifetime for a short time and once in a while. Your opportunity might be to mend a scraped knee or an elbow. The opportunity to bake their favorite dessert. The opportunity to tuck them into bed. And this is just talking about what the ladies do for their husbands, right? Let alone their children. But these opportunities will not be there forever. You have the opportunity to let your light shine like no one else can. So for heaven's sake, take that bushel basket off that light and let it shine for Jesus. Seize your opportunity that you have set before you. And lastly, this morning, we want for you to consider your availability for this opportunity. Just as Esther was, you are here for just such a time as this. In the world today, there are countless different paths to choose. But there is only one path, and do not be misled. There is only one path. There's only one direction. There's only one way to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. And that's by you making yourself available. Making yourself available to listen, making yourself available to heed and to obey what God's word says. God's word gives us meaning. And this means that you have made yourself available for the opportunity of a lifetime if you obey God's word. The greatest thing that any person can do is to make themselves available for the opportunities that the Lord sets before you. You know, everybody, so many times we hear, well, I just hope that I don't miss my calling. I hope that I can achieve my calling and the desire the Lord has for me. Well, I hope so too. But you know what? I found out more often than not is that most people, because of their lack of availability, they miss out on the opportunity to fulfill their calling, and they ultimately end up neglecting their calling for the Lord because they didn't make themselves available because we are so busy. If I just had some time to stay at home and refocus, I could get my life all figured out. Right? Right? Have we got it figured out yet? Keep Jesus first. Keep Jesus first. Many will neglect their calling. Many will abort their futures. Many will stifle their faith. Many will refuse their role. And many will sacrifice their families. And many will run from responsibilities. But the godly woman will make herself available to the service of the Lord. Amen. I believe Esther made herself available for the service of the Lord. All mothers, all ladies, all Christians that are here today, make yourself available for the opportunity to be in service to the Lord. Amen. As we encourage our mothers to keep on doing the fantastic jobs that they're doing, to remember that it's not what's the use, it's that we are providing opportunities because we have made ourselves available. And it narrows down to right now, right here, in this time, in this place, in the world's history, you are here to make a difference. Make that difference for Jesus Christ. There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scripture that tells us that we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. John 8:24 says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." That when we understand and we come to that belief, then we're going to want to repent of our sin. We're going to realize that our sin put Jesus Christ on the cross. 13:3 that says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. It's either repent or perish. How do we know what to repent? We've come to belief in God's word and in Jesus Christ and our sin that put him on the cross. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. To come along beside him, to agree with what he says. Matthew 10:32 says, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. You want for Jesus to stand up on that day and say, I know him, I know her, I know them. Yes, we do. Then we have to stand up and say the same thing today. Be immersed into Jesus Christ. Be engulfed into Jesus Christ. Let everything you do, do for Jesus Christ. But it starts with our baptism into Jesus Christ, or being immersed that way. That he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, and he who disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark 16:16. Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful unto death, and then I will give you the crown of life. You know what? We don't have it in red letter here this morning, but all of those verses that are on the screen are things that Jesus said. Every one of them Jesus said. Jesus said to believe. Jesus said to repent. Jesus said to confess. Jesus said to be baptized or be immersed. Jesus said to be faithful. Are we going to listen to what Jesus says? Listen to me because I'm your mother. Right? And how many times you say, listen, because that's Jesus. Because that's Jesus. Will you stand and sing with us this morning? That all these things will happen. Not as we want them to happen. Not be in our time frame. But all these things will happen in Jesus' time and with his planning in mind.